Have you ever been stuck and not know what to do when you've been around someone who is different from you? It can be really easy to feel confused about what we don't know, and the truth is, many of us don't know about those who have special needs. For many, it's not a part of our experience, and sometimes fear follows what we don't know a lot about. Hopefully, today's episode will help ease some of that. We're sitting down with our special needs director, Wendy Wilkin, and our special needs coordinator, Erin Andrews, to talk through some of the biggest misconceptions about this community and how the church can come alongside this group of people. Wendy, Erin, and their team have been working so hard to put on a prom event this Friday night for adults with special needs called Our Starry Night, and they have some really insightful things to share. Some misconceptions that people have about people with special needs, and so much that we don't know about a caregiver's everyday life. So if you're looking for some good takeaways, we've got all of the main points outlined in the show notes at tpcc.org/podcastshow. Or if you'd like to learn more about all that Traders Point is doing to engage people with special needs or how you can get involved, visit tpcc.org/special needs. Welcome to the Traders Point podcast show. I am sitting down with Wendy and Erin today to talk through our special needs ministry and our upcoming event, Our Starry Night. So I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves. So Wendy, I'll start with you.
Hi, I am Wendy Wilkin, and I'm the director of the special needs ministry here. I started working here almost 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years in January. And I kind of fell into this job. I was not looking for a ministry job. I was actually teaching special education in a K-5 resource room at an elementary school and was actually commuting from Indianapolis to Lafayette every day, which was not fun. It's an hour each way.
For those of you who don't live here.
Right.
That's
a
lot.
It's a long drive. And so I was looking for teaching jobs down here in Indy, and it didn't work. I interviewed every summer for 3 years, and every interview was awful. I walked away going, yep, wasn't going to get that job. And it was just, they were just bad. And then happened upon this one, and it just rolled. Phone interview was great. Interview was great. It just happened. Got the job, started in January. It was awesome. So that's kind of how I made it here.
That's awesome. Yeah. So Erin, who are you and how did you get here?
Hi, I'm Erin, and I am the special needs coordinator. I've been on staff since March, I believe, and I am part-time. When I am not here, I'm an occupational therapist, and I work at an outpatient clinic for kids called Children's Theraplay. And I started serving in the special needs probably 3 years ago as a buddy on Sundays and just fell in love.
Sorry, what is a buddy for those who don't know?
A buddy is someone who partners with a kiddo on Sundays in their classroom. So they don't specifically need to be in the special needs room, just need a little extra help during the regular classroom. And my buddy, well, he's in seventh grade now, but he was fifth grade and I had him for 2 years and I loved it, loved hanging out with him. So just started doing more with the proms before and our breakaways, and Wendy kind of got the idea of, hey, I think you should apply. And I'm like, okay. So here I am, and it's been awesome ever since. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit, because we've got this big event coming up on Friday night, Our Starry Night. And Wendy, I remember when you and I and a volunteer of yours sat in the gathering at Northwest Campus trying to come up with a name for this thing.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Our Starry Night, what it is, why we have this event. Tell us a little bit about how it got started.
Yeah. So, gosh, it's probably been 3 years ago now. So 2 years ago, we had our first prom. This is prom number three. So about 3 years ago now, I was sitting down with Jake Barker and talking with him. And he asked me, have you ever heard of a Jesus prom? And I said, no, I don't know what that is. And there's a church in Lexington who does this same event and they call it a Jesus prom. And so Jake started telling me about this event and how cool it would be and how he and Erin had talked about how they thought it would be really fun to do this event here. And I said, great. Who's going to be in charge of that? And Jake was like, you're going to be in charge of that. And so I think I tried to resist that at first. But as we kept talking about it and praying about it and visiting other churches who had them, it was clear that God was opening the door for us to do our own event. So we did it. Mm-hmm. In 2014, we did our first event, and we had 150 guests mm-hmm. at our first Our Starry Night, and a lot of volunteers. I think we had something like 800 volunteers. And so that was, and then it's just grown from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, like, what is the prom? Why do we have it?
Sure.
What do we do?
Yeah.
What's it all about?
So the event itself, super fun. We cater this event for our guests who may not have ever gone to a prom before. All 3 years, this year included, we have guests who've never been to a prom. They're in their 60s or their 70s. And they just, that wasn't available to them in high school. And so they are able to come to their first event, get dressed up, get their hair done. So we cater it to them. So it's kind of the prom and the after prom in one. So we start off the night with paparazzi waiting at our entrances, and they get, our guests get cheered for and just loved on as they walk in our doors. When they arrive, they can go to a salon and get their hair done, their nails done, their makeup done, or they can go to dinner. And we actually have a sit-down dinner for them where we have whatever food we have.
Good food.
Good food. Always good food. Our food team is amazing. It's always really good food. And then from there, they can actually get formal photos. So they have, you know, their special prom photo. They can go to dancing and karaoke. We have a caregiver's retreat for our caregivers to go to where they can kind of be loved on and cared for that night. And a game room. Mm-hmm. As well as a quiet room. Some of our guests get overwhelmed with the noise and all the people around. So just a place where they can go and get away and just be quiet mm-hmm. for a little while.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Erin, would you add anything from your experience of just volunteering? What is this night meant to our church? And yeah, what is it all about?
Honestly, I think my favorite part of prom is watching the volunteers. Since the first prom we've done, it has changed our church. And I oversee the hosts, so the dates for the evening. And I remember that first year, no one had done it. And they had just deer in the headlight, freaked out. And they're looking at me like, what do I do? How do I talk to them? You know, because it was a random pairing. So they didn't know who they're going to be with. By the end of the night, they were like, these people are amazing. And I, like, they're sharing phone numbers and everything. And it was just an awesome transformation in just a few hours. Mm-hmm. So I think as much as I love seeing the guests have a great time, I love seeing that change in our volunteers of like, this is a special group of people mm-hmm. that are just like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get to watch our church love this group of people that Erin and I love, mm-hmm. that we have worked mm-hmm. with for so long and have just grown to love who they are and who God has created them to be. And we get to watch our staff and our church feel that same way about mm-hmm. them. Every year I've had people come up to me, mm-hmm. the hosts who have been, I didn't want to be a host, but you mm-hmm. told me to be a host mm-hmm. or
yep.
they were, it was the only position left. So I was a host and come up to me after prom and they're like, I will be a host at every prom we ever do. It was mm-hmm. amazing to spend my night with that person and just love on them mm-hmm. all night. So I think it's changed our church. Mm-hmm. I know, our staff talks a lot about, this is one of the first times that our church has said, I'm proud of my church and I'm proud to attend there. I'm thankful mm-hmm. for what they've done. So our congregation is proud that they get to be involved in loving this group of people the way we mm-hmm. love them through the prom.
That's awesome. And I know, too, it's probably one of our only events where we usually end up having a wait list for
yes,
volunteers.
True. We do. Yeah. They're knocking down our doors mm-hmm. and calling all the time asking, how can I serve? How can I serve? I mm-hmm. want to serve. And that's amazing to get people to do that. A wait list for guests, mm-hmm. Caregivers who tell us that, you know, you go above and beyond. We've mm-hmm. not seen this in other events that we go to. So we just, and really it's that way because we just love them the way Jesus would love them. Mm-hmm. We look at what do we think Jesus would have done, and he would have done nothing baseline. Mm-hmm. He would have gone above and beyond and lavishly. And so that's what we do. And we're so that I think that's why it comes off the way it does is we mm-hmm. just look to Jesus as our mm-hmm. example for how we want to run this event.
Mm-hmm. So in that same vein, I know that something you've been processing and thinking through over the past year is how do we make this event go beyond just one night. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that starts with maybe a bigger conversation of helping people just widen their perspective mm-hmm. of this community and mm-hmm. some misconceptions that people have, yeah. which Erin, you already spoke to a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to talk about that if you guys are up for it.
Mm-hmm.
So just to start, tell me about what are some of the misconceptions that people have about people with special needs, particularly adults?
Talk to me
a little bit about that.
I think one thing that they have is that because some of these adults are developmentally delayed and, struggle with those type of things, we may see them as children because they might function mm-hmm. in that way.
Yeah.
But they're not children. They are adults. And that's one thing that I talk a lot to our volunteers about is let's treat them as such. Let's treat them as adults because they are adults. They have the same desires that we have. They want to have relationships with, friendships. They want to have relationships with the opposite sex and have boyfriends and girlfriends. They want to get married one day. They want to have kids. Mm-hmm. They have all those same desires that we have. So they're not children. They are adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, I think, unfortunately, when you have someone who is maybe functioning at a lower level, it is hard to not speak to them or treat them like that, because you do have to make sure they are okay. But, I mean, it's awesome to see that desire that they want a job and they want to do this and they, all those things, and you empower them, like, let them know, like, hey, this is a possibility. And I think our favorite conversations are the ones on shopping day, is they come as couples.
What is shopping day?
Shopping day is right before prom, where our church has donated dresses, suits, accessories, and they can come in for Saturday and have a personal shopper and pick out their dress and everything. And it has become a crazy Saturday, but it is so much fun to just watch them just be mm-hmm. excited and feel handsome and feel pretty. And
it's an event in and of itself.
It's become an event.
They can get their dresses and suits tailored so they fit them just mm-hmm. perfectly. But yeah, they come in as couples.
They come in as couples.
And they treat it very much like a wedding day.
Yes.
The girl doesn't want her date to see her dress, and so they have to try it on separately. We have to cover it. We go with mm-hmm. it because it's their desire, and it's mm-hmm. something I would want.
Yep.
Parents get to see that for the first time with some of these adults, get to see them dress up and mm-hmm. And act that, and get to act, and do that. Not act that way, but do that.
Yep. It is exciting to watch that. I think for me and watching the volunteers with that, it makes them that human part, mm-hmm. that's the relatability, and that I think that's what I love, because then that same conversation is, hey, I did that for my wedding and mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So
mm-hmm. to see that they are adults, they're mm-hmm. they're not children.
Yep.
I think another misconception is because they have a disability that they aren't able to do things, that we look specifically at that disability and what they can't do, as opposed to what are they capable of doing and what can they do? Because mm-hmm. most of our adults with special needs that we serve are capable of a lot of things. They can do the things that they want to do mm-hmm. and the things that we do as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our big thing is a lot for work. I usually will tell families, like, normal is just a setting on the washing machine, with that fear of what's normal. Well, what is normal? And so knowing, like, your household might be just different than the household mm-hmm. down the street. And when they feel that pressure off, it's just awesome to kind of see, like, I mean, our, group that we serve, they have jobs, they are in sports, they have, mm-hmm. Social groups, and I mean, they do more sometimes than I do, and mm-hmm. And I think that's just awesome to see. And they are, like, we have one guy in our class that he is an artist, and he's making magnets, and that's what that's his job, and he started it, and he sells, and he's actually become a very good business person. So to see that of just desire of wanting to paint, and that changed into a business, and it's pretty cool to see that they are capable to do this.
And I think sometimes it's looking at what is the okay thing to be. Like you said, there is no normal. So if your job is helping to greet people at a store or at a restaurant, and that's what you're capable of doing, that's great. You know, I pass people when I'm like at the zoo. There's one of the when you leave and they stamp your hand. I almost every time I go, I see a gentleman who has autism who is doing that. And that's something that he's able to do. He's he has a job. He's fulfilling a purpose and a role that is needed. It doesn't have to be anything bigger than that. And so he's very capable of doing something. And that's fantastic. And that's great for him.
It's humbling to see because, you know, unfortunately, if we look at that and we think that's just kind of a side job or something, but you see their joy. I mean, they have a job. And like Wendy said, it's a purpose and they're doing something for society. And I think that it's a humbling, like, I don't treat my job like that sometimes because it's just a job. But they have just that joy. And I mean, we can actually learn from them.
Yeah. I think another thing that we think, too, is that we'll have nothing in common with them. You know, they have this disability. They have autism. You know, they have Down syndrome. They're in a wheelchair. How could I have anything in common with them? And I think if we just let go of that notion, just get rid of that and start to have a conversation. Hi, how are you? What'd you do today? What's your favorite TV show? We're going to find that they have a lot of the same desires and wants and needs and enjoyments in life that we have.
Yeah, music is a big one. That's a big connector, especially dancing is a big one too. So that's usually in our class. That's our start. But I think it's what I love seeing is talking sports, watching guys, especially the volunteers talk, all of a sudden they connect and they're talking stats and, you know, they're talking all these things and they're like, I had no idea. And, you know, it is like they know, they're fans too. And so that is, that's pretty special to kind of see that connection made.
That's awesome. Yeah. What would caregivers of adults with special needs want other people to know?
Sure. Before I answer that, I do want to say, you know, I'm not a caregiver, but I've been in this field. I've worked with people with special needs now for nearly 13 or 14 years. Erin has done it for
seven,
her entire adult life. And so this is, we've just come to learn these things. So these are things from talking with caregivers, from, you know, I do try to read blogs and read up on things like this. So trying to get this information from people. We have lots of families here who have kids or adults with special needs. And I have conversations with them. I pray with them on a regular basis. And they tell me things. And so these are just things that we've learned. And I want to make sure that through this we're representing that population well. And so just want to kind of get that out there. But I think one thing is that they're not sad about the child that they have. The child that they have is the child that God gave them. And as we believe here, every person is created in the image of God. And so their child was created in the image of God and was created perfectly by God. And they have come, some of them have to come to terms. There is often a period of grief that you have to go through when you learn about a disability, and that's okay. It's different than what you were expecting. You weren't expecting that to happen or to be your reality, but it is. And so they're okay with that. They aren't sad for that. It's the life that they have.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've heard from a lot of parents and caregivers is, you know, the whole, this is what we have, and that grief is real, but then they say it's just, it's made our lives better because that child has taught them throughout their lifespan. And, you know, just the blessing of siblings, and you can, you can really change a lot of perceptions with that. And it maybe started out as a challenge, and there may still be challenges throughout it, but there's always that blessing in it. So
I think another one is that these caregivers, they spend a lot of time taking care of their child or their, it can be a sibling. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's, you know, parents have passed away and now a sibling has become a caregiver mm-hmm. for that, mm-hmm. you know, for their brother or sister with special needs. But they have to devote a lot of their life to that. But they still want community mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's Christian community or just friendships. But a lot of times they don't have a lot of flexibility because they don't know what's going to happen mm-hmm. or they have to be home at a certain time because they have to be able to take care of that person. Sometimes, you know, they're unable to, you know, make dinner for themselves. And so mm-hmm. there's just not a lot of flexibility in that. So I think to just be aware of that mm-hmm. and know that they want that. And they're not turning you down or saying no to that time because mm-hmm. they don't want to, but because mm-hmm. they can't. So don't stop asking. Mm-hmm. Keep asking. Keep calling them. Keep texting them and emailing them. If they don't email you back right away, don't take it as any kind of offense. Right. Just assume, like, hey, they're probably busy. There's a mm-hmm. lot going on. And then trying to figure out what you can do to mm-hmm. help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. During the shopping day, I had an opportunity to talk to a lot of family members while they were waiting for getting their alterations done. And we were talking about the caregivers retreat at prom. So inviting them like, hey, we know this is for them for prom, but you are more than welcome. And this is what we're doing for you. And I had not anticipated a lot of tears, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of like, wow, really, you're doing this for us mm-hmm. too. And we're like, yeah, because you are very much a part of this person's life and you're sacrificing your time and efforts and even some desires too. And so we wanted to make sure like we didn't forget about you. And and that was really, it was really cool to see like how much that touched mm-hmm. them. It was just, it's just an extra room that we're putting in for prom and it's mm-hmm. one piece of the pie. And
it's such a big deal. The volunteers who are running our caregivers retreat are actually parents of kids with special needs. Mm-hmm. So they know mm-hmm. what our caregivers and parents are looking for. So in the caregivers retreat at prom, we will have dinner for our caregivers. One of the big things that the two parents who are running this said is they want the caregivers to have a choice of what they get for dinner because they don't often mm-hmm. get choices in life. They mm-hmm. are doing what their child wants. And if their child's favorite meal is macaroni and cheese, mm-hmm. they might eat a lot of macaroni and cheese. So they wanted them to have mm-hmm. a choice. So there are two different meals that they can choose from mm-hmm. in the caregivers retreat. There will be kind of a date night room. So for the caregivers who come, who are, you know, a married couple, they will have little tables set up with little candles in the middle where they can have their dinner there and hopefully have a little bit of private time and mm-hmm. some time to themselves to just, you know, reconnect with each other for a little while. And then also we'll be offering hand and foot massages and nails for our caregivers to just, as Abby says, one of the ladies in the care, treat yourself is what she says, is what she wants them to do.
Yeah.
I probably don't say that anywhere near as well as Abby does. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing we'll have, which is we're really excited this year, is a live feed from karaoke and dancing. So they'll be able to watch on the screens what's going on in karaoke and dancing because they probably haven't seen their mm-hmm. child do that. So mm-hmm. we want to treat them well because we know what mm-hmm. they're doing. They right. are dedicating so much of their life to this person mm-hmm. that they're taking care of.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, and this might be ignorant, but I'm guessing it also gives a caregiver a chance to connect with someone else who right. has a similar life experience mm-hmm. as them, absolutely. But they might not be able to have time to connect with
yeah. mm-hmm.
in other spaces.
Absolutely. They may not be able to do that. They may not know anyone else who does. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all know to sit down with someone who's been through or is going through something you're going through to mm-hmm. just say, me too. Mm-hmm. And we talk exactly. about that here all the time. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. me too. I understand. I get what you're saying. We also have volunteers and there are volunteers from our staff who are just in there as listeners mm-hmm. who are going to go in and just talk and be able to pray with them or just sit there and listen mm-hmm. and know what to do and how to respond to that. Because we know those caregivers. We know that if an adult with special needs is disconnected from the church, their caregiver mm-hmm. is probably disconnected from the church. So we love them and we want to love on them well and show them who Jesus is too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So a little bit of a turn. At Trader's Point, one of the things that we're always thinking about is someone's next step, not necessarily just an event or program, which, Wendy, you've already kind mm-hmm. of spoken to a little bit. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about what are some of the ways that someone with special needs or someone who would want to be involved with special needs ministry could get involved after prom.
Yeah.
Like all year long.
So talk for the last, talk about it. Yeah. So for the last 2 years, we've just had prom. It happened in 2014, happened in 2015. And that was really, other than, you know, coming back for weekend services, it was really the only thing we had for this, this population. And one thing our church sees as really important is making sure that it's a step to something else. So we started this year, and I'll let Erin talk about this. This is mm-hmm. her world and something she's kind of been in from the beginning, mm-hmm. is we started a Bible study for adults with special needs. We call it Be Known. And the reason we call it that is that we want Jesus to be known to these adults, and we want them to know that they are known by him, that he sees them and he knows exactly who they are. So Erin can tell you way more about the class.
Yeah, it's been amazing to just see this take off. We started about mid-August this year, and we meet every Wednesday from 6:30 to 8. And
at Traders Point, at Northwest.
At Traders Point, okay. Yep, Northwest. And we, right now, we probably have 8 to 10 participants regularly. And our volunteers are, you know, weekly. And I mean, they've just kind of taken this and just have run with it. And it's just an awesome time where we start with worship. And we usually, there's some crazy game. I mean, these guys love interaction. So we are doing stuff that I never thought we would be doing.
They played some sort of gross jelly bean game.
Yes.
Which they made me do, and it was so gross.
Yeah,
and they
loved it. Your team pranked our whole office.
Yes, we did prank your office. Yes.
Not our whole team.
just a few.
Just a few of us. But yeah, I mean, those things, they just absolutely love it. And then we do kind of a large group teaching, and then we break up into small groups, and they'll do some activities. And what has been really awesome to see is we've talked about the misconception of them not being able to do anything, but they are so smart. And we actually changed curriculum. When we first started, it was written for adults with special needs, and it was actually too low functioning. It was actually very childish, the way what they were singing and everything. And we were at three sessions in, we're like, it's not challenging them and they can do more. So we switched it up, and watching them now with discussion and prayer, I mean, they are just owning it. And we think
they did a question box 1 week, and Erin read me some of the questions. The questions that our guests had were amazing. I mean, they were talking about having stuff in common. They were the questions that I asked.
Oh,
they were the questions that we're all asking about Jesus and about God and about faith.
Yeah.
And they were great questions.
We know they're learning, and just, you know, they are really taking ownership. And I'm excited to kind of see, like, even some are becoming leaders within within the class, mm-hmm. and wanting to I've asked, like, when can we lead a small group and when can we do that? And we're like, well, let's make that happen, you know. Yeah. So we're kind of learning as we go, but it's been really cool to see the excitement with them, and hoping, you know, our goal is to start serving together somewhere. That could be a vision. And then eventually, you know, we want them to come to service on the weekends and be a part of just the church body, you know, mm-hmm. not just Wednesday nights where they're mm-hmm. isolated in their own class, which is good because it's for them, but then bringing them to the whole worship center. So
that's awesome. Yeah. What are some ways that people could get involved to serve in special needs ministry?
Yeah. So there's lots of ways to get involved in special needs. So we serve people with special needs from birth through adult now. So we have kids ministry on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays at Northwest North and soon to be downtown. Mm-hmm. We have student ministry on Sunday nights at North Northwest and soon to be downtown, which is really cool. And then we have the adult class mm-hmm. on Wednesday evenings. And we need volunteers mm-hmm. in all of those areas.
Yep.
The ministry is constantly growing. We're always getting people who are like, hey, someone told me to come here. Mm-hmm. We get to serve some really cool people who haven't been able to experience church mm-hmm. before, and we're able to do that here. So there are lots of ways to get involved serving with the special needs ministry across all age levels.
That's awesome. Yeah. We'll make sure to put a link in the show notes for those of you who are driving. Don't drive off the road to try to look it up. So, yeah, that's awesome. Well, Wendy and Aaron, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I know you guys have training and stuff this week, too. Yeah. So, we're really excited and excited for our church.
We love getting to talk about this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have a minute, leave a quick review in iTunes as it really helps people find the show. Our Starry Night is going to be an incredible evening, and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter to get all of the updates and highlights of the night. If you have any questions or topics that you would love to hear more about on the podcast show, send those to podcast@tbcc.org anytime. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.